thank God for his faithfulness. We give him all the glory. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Well, you're welcome this morning. And let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And let us read together from the first verse through to verse 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Let's go. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen and amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word into our hearts this morning. We approach your word reverently. And we thank you that these words are not the words of any man. They are your words. Words that you inspired in the heart of those men that wrote them down for us. And as we read and run with them here this morning, we thank you that there shall be a performance of those truths that are contained in this passage of Scripture in our lives. Because we are not just going to hear your word for hearing's sake. We are purposed in our hearts to be doers of them as well, so that we may profit thereby. Thank you, therefore, Holy Spirit, for opening the eyes of our understanding, that we may behold wondrous things from the word of God here this morning. We give you praise that you are indeed our teacher and our guide into all the truth that God has prepared for us as his church here on earth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking, for we have ears to hear what you are saying to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. This morning, we are sharing on what I've simply titled, Triumphing by Your Faith. Triumphing by Your Faith. In other words, how do we walk by the kind of faith that gives us the victory that God wants us to have as his people? You see, God's plan for us as his church here on earth is that we may walk in victory in all areas of life, not just in certain areas, but in all areas of our lives. That is why the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. In other words, everything that is in this world, God has planned for us to overcome. Every one of them, particularly if they are contrary to the will of God for our lives. And you know, as well as I know, that the world system is governed as it is right now by the devil. Bible describes him as the god of this world. In other words, the one who is responsible for the evil system of the world. Not that he is the creator. The devil has not created anything, but he has just come to pervert what God created. In coming to the earth, he has come to mess up the creation of God. And so the world system is contrary to us because of the adversary, the devil, who is responsible for the system of the world as it is right now. But thank God, He has prepared for us a place of victory in Jesus Christ, His Son. And as long as we learn to walk in the way God has taught us to walk in the Holy Scriptures, we will always experience victory at all times and in every situation. So it does not matter what your need may be here this morning. There is victory for you in Jesus' name. You just need to walk by the faith of Jesus Christ and you will overcome in that aspect of your need. But let us look at the first verse to start with. The first verse again says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him." Hallelujah. Again, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Now, are you a believer in Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the one that God anointed and sent into this world in order to set us at liberty from sin and all the byproducts of sin? Well, if you are a Christian, you have believed that. That's why you are a Christian. So if you have believed that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, whom the Father sent into the world in order to set us free from bondage and all oppression that came because of sin of Adam, then Bible tells us right here that because of that faith in Jesus as Christ, we have already overcome the world. Why? Because the faith that Jesus brought for us is the means by which we overcome everything. Jesus himself, while he was here on earth, had to live by faith. Many times he will say things like this, "It is written of me in the volume of the books." In other words, he is living by the word of God. And we all know that right at the very beginning of his ministry, when he was baptized, and Bible says he was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We all know how he handled the temptations that the enemy brought against him. The three of them initially, Bible says Jesus handled each one of them by standing upon the word of God as it is written. He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Which means he himself was living by faith. And because he lived by faith or by the word of God, he overcame the world in his own time. And now that we are his people who have faith in him, we are to overcome the world in our own generation also. In fact, put your finger right there in 1 John chapter 5. Let's turn quickly to Big John and see what Jesus himself said. John chapter 16. Because it's not asking us to do something that is different from what he has already done. Actually, Jesus has already finished everything for us. And he has simply invited us to come and share in the victory that he has already won for us by simply living a lifestyle of obedience to the word of God. Because Jesus himself is the word, you see. Every time we obey the word of God, we are in faith. And when we are in faith, we will overcome the world because we are in Christ Jesus. At that point in time, every time we live by the faith of Jesus. Now, he said here in John chapter 16, we all know this verse of scripture very well. Let's read it together. Verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Please underline your Bible the phrase, "I have overcome the world." But notice it began by saying, "These things I have spoken unto you." In other words, these words that I have spoken to you, they are intended for a purpose, that you may believe them and act upon them, because that's what faith is all about. Faith is not just believing the word of God, it is also acting on it. You have to believe it and then act upon it, because faith without works is dead, being alone, Bible says. So Jesus said, well, the words that I've spoken unto you, you have to literally take heed concerning every one of them, so that by obeying them and living by them, you will be able to have peace in me, because you are living in a world that is full of trouble because of the enemy. But then, because you are in me, even though you are in the world, because you are in me, you are going to overcome the world, because I have already overcome the world. You see, that's simple for us to identify with. If Jesus said, I've already overcome the world, and you are a believer in him, so you are a believer in the one who has already overcome the world, and because you are a believer in the one that has already overcome the world, you are positioned to overcome the world also by your faith in him. It's as simple as that. If we don't believe in Jesus, then we don't have any capacity to overcome the world. It is only by faith in Jesus that we are going to overcome the world, because only Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Bible says it discerned principalities and powers in Colossians chapter 2. He spoiled them. He made an open show of them. He triumphed over them. So he already gained the victory over the devil, who is responsible for the evil system of the world. So that everyone that has faith in him, that's in Jesus Christ, will walk in the victory that he has already obtained for his followers over the devil. Those who don't follow Jesus, those who don't believe in Jesus, cannot share in his victory. You see, that's why everybody that wants to walk in victory over the devil would have to come on Jesus' side and believe on him. God has made an open invitation, or given an open invitation to all of mankind, because he has done his own part in sending his son to die for us on the cross. Bible says, for God so loved the world. You see, again, he loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. But you see, there's responsibility. If you want to share in the fruit of what Jesus has done for mankind, you have to believe. You have to believe. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what happens to those who don't believe? Well, because they refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is come for them, they cannot be partakers or what he did for mankind. So the problem with anyone that does not have faith in Jesus is simply their choice of not believing. If they would just choose to believe on him right now, they become partakers of what Jesus already did for all of mankind through faith in him. Now let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. So Jesus said he has already overcome the world. We just need to listen to what he has said and obey his word. And truly, Jesus is the living word. So every time we study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we have to see Jesus in the scriptures and release our faith in him accordingly, knowing that he has already overcome the world for us. And so there is no fear of any contrary situation or fear of the enemy in our hearts as Christians. We are bold because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We are bold because we are in the one who has already gained the victory for us. And because of him, we will have victory in every circumstance that comes our way today and all our days here on earth. Again, 1 John chapter 5. Now let's look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, that's not the end of it. Remember, we just read from John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said we should be of good cheer, even though we are in the world and in trouble many times, because we are in the world. You see, we are in trouble, but trouble is not in us. We are in trouble because we are in the world. But the trouble cannot get in our hearts. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Even though we are in trouble in this world, Jesus said we should be of good cheer because he has already overcome the world. In other words, no matter what the trouble that comes our way, Jesus has already given us the victory over that particular trouble in himself. We just need to walk by faith in Christ, and we will have the victory that he already gained for us over 2,000 years ago. Now, look at what it then goes on to say there in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So, if we are born of God, we have the potential or the capacity to overcome the world. That's the best way to put it. But for that potential to become a reality, we have to walk by faith. It's as simple as that. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, the children of Israel, if we study the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and chapter 4, we see clearly how God works. God, in taking the children of Israel from Egypt, intended to take every single one of them into the promised land. Every one of them that left Egypt, God's plan was to take every one of them into the promised land. Now, why is it that some of them did not make it into the promised land? Even though God's plan was to get every single one of them into the promised land. Well, because they chose not to believe God. Bible says they couldn't enter into the rest of God because of their unbelief. And then Bible goes on to warn us there that we should be careful so that we don't develop the kind of heart that they had. The heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In other words, when we don't live by faith in God, at that point in time, we are departing from the blessing and the plan that he already has for us in that area of our lives. And we have to understand this clearly. God has prepared for every one of us to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of heaven, even here on earth. But we need to walk by faith day by day in order to be partakers of those things. We need to please God with our faith. Alright, 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 again. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Please underline your Bible. Even our faith. Even our faith. Even our faith. We are already believers in Christ, and we are already positioned in Christ Jesus to overcome the world. But for us individually to experience that overcoming life in reality in our lives, we will have to make the choice to walk by faith. Out of the old generation of the Israelites that left Egypt, only two of them made it into the promised land. All the others perished in the wilderness because of their unbelief. Only Joshua and Caleb, out of the old ones, made it into the promised land. Why? Because they believed. You see, they made a choice to believe God. Bible says they had a different spirit. You see, God is no respecter of persons. Every time we walk by faith, we please him. Every time we walk in unbelief, we displease him. It's as simple as that, even though we are his children. And he cannot help us if we don't believe. We have to believe if we want God to help us in any area of our need. Faith is the doorway by which God comes to help us in our situation. And if we don't give him the door to come, it just cannot help us. We have to walk by faith. And we find out that at the same time as God is coming through our faith to help us, the door is being shut against the devil, because faith is a shield against the devil. So faith will open the door for God to come and shut the door against the devil at the same time. And that's why faith is very powerful for us as Christians. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16 tells us that with the shield of faith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Thank God for faith. Thank God for the faith that Jesus brought for us to live by. Okay, so it is our faith that helps us to walk in the victory that Jesus has already won for us. We need to walk by faith, and the Christian faith is based on the Word of God, which is Jesus himself. Jesus is the Word. Bible says he has a name written, and that name is the Word of God. Hallelujah. All right, let's also turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 11. Then we'll highlight some points which we can take home and meditate in order to help ourselves to walk by the kind of faith that will always give us victory at all times and in every situation. Hebrews chapter 11. God is so good. He has equipped us with everything that we need as Christians here in this world. Everything we need to give us victory over the devil and all his evil works, God has already supplied to us as Christians. So if any of us fall short of God's expectation concerning us, it is simply because we failed to live by faith. That's all. We failed to live by the faith that he has brought for us to live by. Hebrews chapter 11, let us read together verses 32 to 34. Hebrews 11 verses 32 to 34. Let's go. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Amen. Now, look at what Bible says here, that the saints of old did by faith. All these things they did by faith. Not by their own human power, but by faith, by relying on God. Because faith is simply relying on God. You rely on him and his promises, knowing that he will not fail you. So by their reliance on God, by their obedience to the word of God, they were able to accomplish these great things that are written here in the scriptures for us. So we begin to see the power of faith. We see what faith can get done for us as Christians. Great and mighty things. Things that you and I cannot fathom with our human minds. The faith of Christ in us can help us to experience in our lives. Things that will make us to marvel. Why? Because when we walk by faith, we are walking in the realm of the supernatural. Because God is a supernatural God. And his word also is supernatural. We thank God that we have the Holy Bible written, and is in letter form, but Bible teaches us that actually the word that is written in letter form is spirit. Jesus himself said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word of God is alive. It is living. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the capacity to do things that are extraordinary because God and his word are one and the same. God is a miracle-working God. The word of God is a miracle-working word. You can say it that way. If God and his word are one and the same, that means the word of God can do everything that God can do. And that's why even the Holy Spirit works with the word of God. Because God upholds all things by the word of his power. Everything that God has created is being upheld by his powerful word. That is why faith is so powerful, because it is based on the word of God that is so powerful. The Christian faith is not based on any human opinion or human wisdom or human knowledge. No. It is based on the word of God and the word of God alone. If we don't base our faith on God's word, then it is counterfeit faith. For faith to be genuine, it has to be based on the word of God according as it is written. Bible says we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. We believe and therefore we speak. So it has to be according to the word of God. And that's why faith is so powerful. And these people the Bible mentions here in Hebrews chapter 11 did great things by faith, simply because they relied on the word of God and the power of God to always keep his promises. All right, let's write this down and then we'll look at some other scriptures as we go along. Again, we are sharing on what I've simply titled Triumphing by Your Faith. In other words, how do you ensure that you get the victory that God has already given you in Christ Jesus? In any area of your life where you need to have victory, how do you ensure that you get that victory? Because God wants you to have it. It is the Father's pleasure, Bible says, to give us the kingdom. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God doesn't want any of us to be defeated in any area of life. He wants our testimony to be that of victory at all times, because God is a victorious God. And Jesus, our Savior, is the victorious Savior who has already defeated the devil for us. Now, please write this down. As Christians, God has given us a very powerful and effective spiritual tool. As Christians, God has given us a very powerful and effective spiritual tool called faith. In other words, that powerful and effective spiritual tool is faith. So as Christians, again, God has given us a very powerful and effective spiritual tool. In bracket, just write faith. And then continue the statement by saying, to live victoriously by in this present world. So, as Christians, God has equipped us with what we need to live victoriously in this present world. We are not talking about the sweet by and by. We are talking about now. Now, in this life, in this world, in this troublesome world, in this world that is full of darkness and all kinds of iniquity, God has equipped us as his own people to live victoriously over the devil and all the evil of this present generation. Why? Because we are of God. Bible says we are just in the world. We are not of the world. We are ambassadors for Christ. This is not our home. We are just here to serve Jesus Christ. Otherwise, God would have taken us home to heaven where we belong. But as long as we are in this world, we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And so we have the capacity to make every difference that God wants us to make, and every difference that God wants to make through us, so that all the people of the world may come to know that indeed there is a God in heaven whose kingdom rules over all of his creation. And so we have what it takes to walk in victory, and that is faith, because the Christian faith is based in Christ Jesus, who brought it for us. We live by the faith of the Son of God. So in front of that statement, please write the scriptures. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, which we have already looked at. And secondly, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Bible tells us there that with the shield of faith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not some of them, all of them. In other words, faith is more than enough to defeat every plan of the devil. That's why we can overcome all the world by our faith. Now, write this next statement down. But we must know how to use it in order to triumph over every contrary situation in our lives. It's one thing to know that God has given us faith. It's another thing to know how to use the faith. Because you may have something, and if you don't know how to use it, it is still not beneficial to you. Having something is just the starting of a process of using that particular thing to profit yourself. So we have faith, but we must know how to use the faith. Bible says, for instance, in Romans chapter 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But when that faith has come to you, you have to know how to use it. Many times we receive from the word of God, but we don't know how to apply the faith in the time of need. And we are like, as Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 78, you know, the children of Ephraim, Bible says they were fully armed. They had weapons. But in the day of battle, instead of fighting, they ran away, even though they were armed. They had weapons to fight, but they did not use the weapons to fight because they forgot the covenant of God, Bible says, and their hearts were not steadfast with God. And that can happen to us as Christians too. We are well equipped. We have the capacity to walk in victory by the faith of Jesus Christ. But then we can end up being defeated by the enemy. Why? Because we fail to use what God has given us, the weapon that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we have to understand all these things and not just take things for granted and say, well, I'm a Christian. Oh, I read my Bible. Oh, I listen to the word of God. Well, reading your Bible, listening to the word of God is the means by which faith will come to you. Because faith has to come to you, you have to have it in order to use it. So when it comes, you have to know how to use it. You have to know how to use it. Many times, some of us start well in faith. But because we don't understand how to use faith skillfully, after a while, we give up. We just give up. Why? Because things are not happening as fast as we expect them to happen. In fact, since we are still there in Hebrews, just turn backward a page or so in your Bible to chapter 10. You will see that we should change ourselves as Christians many times because we take things for granted. It's one thing for faith to come to you when you study the Bible or listen to a sound teaching that is based on the Word of God, but it's another for you to know how to use the faith that has come to you in order to gain the victory that God wants you to have in that situation. And so here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." You see, when you get home, you can study the whole chapter. Because Paul here is talking about how the church started well at some point in time, but somehow they are slackening now. Why? Maybe because challenges are coming more, and instead of them really understanding that the faith of God must be consistent at all times, in season and out of season, we must never give up on God's word. But because they did not understand that, they were now slackening or drawing back somehow. In fact, let me pick it from verse 32 so we can get it in a bit of context. Verse 32 says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions." In other words, this was how the church, this particular church, this was how they were before. They were doing it right before. When they became Christians and they got the word of God, they were excited by that word and they began to live by it, and so they were ready to endure any kind of hardship for the sake of Christ. They did not complain. They were ready to go through anything for Christ's sake. Now look at verse 33. "Partly wise you were made a guessing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used." Now look at verse 34. "For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." Now look at the next verse. Now this is the warning. That's to tell us that, well, the fact that we are doing it well right now does not mean we'll do it well tomorrow or next time if we don't keep doing the right thing or make a choice to keep doing the right thing. So you can't take things for granted. This church started well, but somehow they were slackening. That's why Paul wrote to them and said, "Don't cast away your confidence. You are doing it right. You are doing it well before. You are walking by the faith of Jesus before. You are ready to endure anything for Christ. So don't change that. Don't cast away your confidence, which had great recompense of reward." So if it's not possible to cast it away, Paul would not have written it to them. So don't cast it away. Don't throw aside the way of faith now. Don't say, "Well, it's not working. It's too difficult." No, 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 no. Keep doing it. The word of God works. Just be patient. It may not be working as fast as you want it to work, but God makes everything beautiful in his own season, you see. You just have to understand that God works in a different time frame than we do here on earth. We are limited to 24-hour clock. But Bible teaches us that a day in God's own kingdom is like 1,000 years. So God's time frame is different from ours. But one thing is certain, God is never late. He will always be on time. You just have to know that if it's not happening in your own time, that means your own time is wrong. God's time is perfect, and his timings, it will come through for you in due season. Just wait for it. Wait for it. Don't give up. The same thing God said to Habakkuk in chapter 2, just write that vision down, run with it. And if it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it. Don't give up. Don't say it's taking too long. It's taking too long. It's taking too long. Maybe I'm not going to have it. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. If God has promised it, He will fulfill it. Just trust in Him that He knows the due season to make it manifest for you in the realm of the physical, because He has already done it in the spiritual realm for you in Christ Jesus. So cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. Say that to your neighbor. You have need of patience. Aha. Now, for you have need of patience, that after, not even before, after you have done the will of God. What is the will of God? To walk by faith. That's God's will. That's how to please God. So after you have walked by faith, God says you still need to be patient. Someone says, but I've been walking by faith for so long, but nothing is changing. Well, be patient, God said. Don't cast away that confidence. Don't say, well, it's not working, because then that means you are doubting God's word. Faith is based on the word of God. You don't bring your own intellect into it. We walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, but it's not happening as fast as I expect. Well, forget about your own thoughts. Just believe God, because it has nothing to do with us as humans, but everything to do with God, the supernatural, miracle-working God, the God who can turn the captivity of His people around just like a dream. One moment we are wondering how long, the next moment we are saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Just trust in Him. So after you've done the will of God, which is to walk by faith, Bible says you still need patience. You need patience. You need patience. You need patience. Verse 36 again says, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive. Key word, receive. You always receive from God. You will never find any place in Bible where God will say, well, if you trust in me, or you trust in my promises, or you walk by faith in my word, you will end up being a loser. Never. You are going to have the fulfillment of that promise, no matter how long it may seem to be taking. Just wait for it. Just wait for it. So don't cast away that confidence in God and say, well, I've been believing God for many years now for this thing, but nothing has changed. Immediately stop that thought and realize that's the devil trying to get you to doubt God. Just say, shut up, devil. I walk by faith and not by sight. God never fails. Even though it's been many years now, I know God will come through for me in due season. I'm going to be patient, because He said after I've done His will, I should be patient, and I'm going to receive the fulfillment of that promise in my life. That's how to do it. That is rock solid faith. And that is the kind of faith that pleases God. That's the kind of faith that Abraham had to learn to walk in before he received Isaac. When he was a bit flaky, like you and I have many times, he tried to help God because the promise of God was taking too long. But he ended up producing Ishmael, which God rejected, because that was not God's plan for him. That was His own plan for Himself. See, we have to learn from those passages of scripture and understand that when God makes a promise, He knows how to bring it to pass in due season. Even if it's taking long, don't run ahead of God. Just wait for Him. Just wait for Him. Just wait for Him. Just wait for Him. And you will receive the fulfillment. You have the victory in that area of your life. So how then do we walk by this kind of faith that gives us victory at all times? So how do we do it? Well, there are three key things we need to understand. Number one, if I'm going to triumph by my faith in Christ Jesus, the first thing I have to do is to rest my faith. So please write that down. Rest your faith absolutely on God's word and God's ability. In other words, permanently placed. To rest means to permanently place something there. Be like the farmer that permanently puts his seed in the soil. He doesn't go to dig it up again to say, well, I don't know whether this seed is going to grow. Let me go and check it. Oh, I put the seed in the ground yesterday. Let me go and check it today to see whether something is happening. Well, the farmer knows that you have to leave that seed in the soil and don't disturb it. You've done your own part. You've tilled the ground. You've put the seed in the soil. Now it's time for God to do his part, to make rain fall upon the seed, to make sun shine upon the seed, and to make the seed grow by his own knowledge. Because the farmer does not know how, just like Jesus taught us the principle of the kingdom in Mark chapter 4. That's like the man that puts that seed in the ground, but then he doesn't know how the thing is going to grow. But that man is going to see the process of growth and germination until the harvest comes. Then he will put in the sickle because the harvest has come. So you have to rest your faith absolutely. In other words, 100%. Permanently place it 100% in the word of God and God's own ability. That's all. Forget about what you can do or what any other person can do, or what you can't do or what man can do. It has nothing to do with man. You see, the ability to perform the word of God is God's own ability himself, not any human ability. Abraham tried, he produced Ishmael. So we see that nobody can help God perform his word. And so he learned from that mistake, and later he himself, Father Abraham, confessed in Romans chapter 4 that what God has promised, God is the one that is able to perform. You see, he learned. He learned the hard way that God doesn't need man's help to perform his word. He is the one that has the power to perform his word, because the ability of God to perform his word is the Holy Spirit himself. The Holy Spirit is God's ability to perform his word. Right from Genesis chapter 1, we see him as the one performing the word of God. When there was darkness, God said, let there be light. The Holy Spirit, who is already moving, took that word and performed it and turned the darkness into light. So the ability of God to perform his word is the Holy Spirit himself. That's why the Holy Spirit and the word of God work together. You'll never see the Holy Spirit working without the word of God. And you'll never see the word of God being fulfilled without the Holy Spirit. They work together in partnership at all times. And you have to understand that if you want to walk in the faith that will give you triumph or victory in any area of your need, you have to base your faith on the word of God and God's own ability, the Holy Spirit power himself. Please write these scriptures in front of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 1 to 5. Romans chapter 4, verse 21, but in context, from verse 16 to verse 22. And thirdly, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We all know what is in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, so we don't need to turn there this morning. We all know that right there, Bible says we should trust in the Lord with all our hearts and not to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we are to acknowledge God, and then he will direct our path. So God doesn't want us to put our human understanding into the walk of faith that he has called us to walk in Christ Jesus. When it comes to the Christian faith, our human understanding has nothing to do with it at all. The Christian faith is based on the word of God and the word of God alone. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and Jesus is the word of God. So let's turn quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, once we understand these basic things, we will be able to walk by faith, not only in a manner that pleases God, but also in the manner that ensures that we have the victory God has promised us in the situation. God doesn't want any of us to fall short of every blessing that is available for us in Christ Jesus. But it can't help us without faith, you see. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the kind of faith that pleases God is what we are sharing about here this morning. It has to be based on the word of God and God's own ability. 100%. Nothing of man at all. We can't put the ham of flesh into it at all. Otherwise, we'll mess it up. Like Abraham messed up with Ishmael. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5, let's read that quickly. And I, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 to 5, let's go. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Please underline verse 5 in your Bible. That your faith should not stand. The word stand there means to rest or to place permanently or settle something somewhere. So you shouldn't put your faith in human wisdom. You have to put it in the power of God. The power of God talks about the word of God, the word of his power, and the Holy Spirit. To put your faith in the power of God is to put it in the word of his power and in the Holy Spirit, his ability to perform his word. Nothing of man at all. No. Not by our own human power, not by our own human might, only by the Spirit of God. Forget about our human wisdom when it comes to faith. Remember the account. We don't have time to look at that this morning. The account is in 2 Kings chapter 7. How they had been farming in Samaria. The famine was so bad that they were even selling, you know, dove's dung. Bible says for money. What would throw away? They were selling it for money. It was that bad. And then one woman actually boiled a child to eat. That was terrible. And the woman came to the king and said, "King, help me." And when she told the king what happened, the king just tore his clothes. And said, where am I going to get help from? If God doesn't help us all, I myself can't help you. I'm suffering the famine too, just like everyone else. But in the midst of the famine, the word of the Lord came through Elisha. And Elisha said, at this time tomorrow, at the gate of Samaria, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria this time tomorrow. And Bible says the officer of the king said, even if God were to open the windows of heaven. You see, that's human wisdom. How can there be plenty tomorrow? We've been having famine for so long. Even if God sends rain and we go to plant, it will take months for the harvest to come. How can we go from famine to plenty in 24 hours? See, that's human wisdom. You can't understand God the way he works. And so Elisha said, well, you are the one doubting. You will see it because the word of God will come to pass. But you won't taste out of it since you doubted. And truly, that man saw it. But then, while he saw the plenty, they trampled upon him and he died. Because God had made a plan to use lepers. To use lepers to bring plenty unto Israel. Our God works in awesome ways. So don't limit him with your human understanding. He can make a way through the Red Sea. So don't stand before the Red Sea and say, there is no way for me there. Just say, oh, I walk by faith and not by sight. My God is awesome. He can do awesome things. Therefore, I trust him. I'm not going to use my intellect. See, our faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Romans chapter 4. So, if you are walking by faith, you need help in any area of your life, just find out what the Word of God says. Meditate in it day and night. And let the Word of God persuade your heart. And forget about how you see the situation. Forget about the circumstantial evidence before you. Because those natural evidences we have, they are the design of the devil to take our eyes away from the Word of God and from the power of God that can help us in the situation. So don't lean on your own understanding. The devil has access to all our human understanding. He can deceive us in our own ways of assessing our situation. So don't let us lean on our understanding at all. Here in Romans chapter 4 verse 21, Bible says, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." As I said to you, please read it in context from verse 16 to verse 22 and understand that God is teaching us the way of faith by the experience that Abraham had in walking by faith with God. How he had to learn eventually the right way of walking by faith and understand that God calls the things that be not as though they were, and that he just had to believe God based on what God said, and he had to hope according to the word of God, even though the situation looked hopeless. When his wife was too old to have a child, he got out of his own human understanding and he began to focus on what God has said. So he no longer considered the deadness of Sarah's womb, Bible says. You see, at a point in time in the past, he considered that and he produced Ishmael, but then he learned from it. And now he's no longer considering all those things, all those natural evidences that will say to him, well, it's not going to happen as God said. Look at verse 19. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." So it's not leaning on human understanding anymore, because human understanding will say there is no way for Sarah to have a child. She is too old to have a child. Therefore, forget it. That's human wisdom. So he had to base his faith on the power of God and not on human wisdom in order to get Isaac. And that's how you and I have to do also. Base your faith on the word of God and the ability of God himself through the Holy Spirit to perform his word. Second thing that you need to do in order to get your faith to triumph is to be prepared. So please write this down. Be prepared to pass the test of your faith. Be prepared to pass the test or the trial of your faith, if you like, by choosing to have patience. You have to choose to have patience. It's a choice you need to make, because nobody else can make it for you. Many of us are impatient, and because of our impatience, we miss out on what God wants to do for us. We either run ahead of him or just turn away from him. We can run ahead of God and produce Ishmael because we are impatient. Or we can turn away from God and go our own ways and just cast away our faith and our confidence in God because we are not patient. But we have to understand that our faith has to be tested and tried and proven before we can see the fruit of our faith in this physical realm. The devil will ensure that he tries to resist us as much as possible when we choose to walk by faith. So if we are not ready to be patient and be steadfast in our faith, we cannot outlast the devil. You see, Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 5 that we have to resist the devil by being steadfast in the faith. In other words, don't just start in faith and then give up after a while. No, you have to be steadfast. Continue in that faith until the very end. And that's what patience is all about. The ability to continue in faith until the very end. You are ready to endure until the end. That's what patience means. It doesn't mean fold your hands and do nothing. It means keep trusting in God actively until the very end. You are ready to go through everything it takes for you to hold on to the word of God until you see it come to pass. That's what biblical patience is all about. So you have to make that choice because nobody can make it for you. In front of that, please write the scriptures. James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. In context, please read it from verses 3 to 9. And Hebrews chapter 6 verses 12 to 15. So you have to make a choice to be patient if you want your faith to triumph. Let's quickly look at those scriptures. Start with James chapter 1. Thank God for the trial of our faith. If faith is not tried and tested, then it is not proven. And it is not genuine. That's why the Bible says we need to fight the good fight of faith, because there will be opposition to our faith, but we need to persist in it in order to win. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now look at what Bible says there. Verse 4. But let. Keyword let. It's you that will let. It's you that will choose to allow patience to complete the process. To have a perfect work there means to have the finished work, the complete work of endurance to the end. Don't give up midway. Don't give up three quarters of the way. Allow patience to take you to the very end of victory that God has for you in that situation. Because God will not fail you where his promises are concerned. If your Isaac is not coming fast enough, just wait for Isaac. Don't produce Ishmael. Isaac will surely come in due season. Just be patient. Just be patient. But you have to make the choice. That's why the Bible says, but let, allow. The word let there means allow. So it is you that will either allow or permit, or refuse to allow or refuse to permit. So the choice is yours. So you have to let patience finish the work. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. But as I said earlier, please read it on your own from verse 3 when you get home to verse 9 at least. You can then get it in some context more than what we are reading here in verse 7. "That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. So this should be your mindset as a Christian, that my walk of faith will bring glory to God. My walk of faith will bring honor to Jesus. In other words, I'm not going to give up. Devil, it doesn't matter what you try, I won't give up. If you stay there, I'm ready to stay until you go. Because I'm not going to give ground to you, devil. I'm just telling you, you are the one that will have to quit. I'm not going to quit. And I tell you, if every one of us as Christians begin to say that to the devil will know his time is up. Because it can't really stand too long when you resist him. But if you don't resist him, then he will settle there. But when you resist him, Bible says he will flee, because he realizes he's not going to win against you as long as you hold your ground in faith. Hebrews chapter 6. Again, Bible is teaching us from the example of Father Abraham, from verse 12 to 15. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, now look at verse 15. And so, after he had patiently endured, you see the key, after the patience, after the endurance to the end, he received the promise. And I tell you, if you are patient, you will receive the promise of God in your life. Finally, number three thing you need to do in order to triumph by your faith is to refuse to look at the storm. Refuse to look at the storm. The storm there represents the trouble or the need. Why? Because we see an example in the Bible of someone looking to the storm and missing out in the work of faith that he started correctly. Again, if you start correctly, you must continue correctly until the end. In front of that, please write the scriptures and we'll look at them as we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. We don't need to turn there. We all know what is there. That we walk by faith and not by sight. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. Romans chapter 4 verse 19. We just read Romans chapter 4 verse 19. A short while ago, that Abraham did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb when Sarah was too old to have a child. And finally, Matthew chapter 14, verses 30 and 31. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. We all know what is there also, that in all our troubles, we don't look at what is seen. We don't focus on the physical evidences, but we look at what is unseen, the promises of God. Because what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. Say to your neighbor, what you see now is subject to change. Therefore, don't focus on it. What you need to focus on is what never changes. And that is the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain the same. So focus on the word. Amen. Matthew chapter 14, and let us see that as we close. Matthew 14, verses 30 and 31. Well, we all know the background. I will encourage you, when you get home, read it from the earlier verses, particularly maybe from about verse 22. But here in verse 30, the Bible says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now, this is the same Peter that was walking on water, just like Jesus, his master, was doing a moment ago. When Jesus said, come, he stepped out of the boat and was walking on the water, exactly like Jesus. Meanwhile, the storm was there all along, but because he was looking to Jesus that said to him, come, he wasn't seeing the storm. And because of that, his faith was working fine. But then he took his eyes off Jesus. How did I know? Because the Bible says he saw the storm. You can't see two things at the same time. He wasn't looking at Jesus anymore. He turned away from Jesus and focused on the storm. And now he lost his faith because he was looking at the wrong thing. Every time we focus on our need or our trouble, we are not in faith. That's the bottom line. Many of us think, okay, I'm in faith, but you are focused on your trouble and all your heart is troubled and every moment you are troubled and you say you are in faith. No, you are not in faith. If you want to be in faith, you have to look to Jesus. You have to look to the Word. You don't deny the fact that the storm is there, but that's not your focus. Your focus is on Jesus who calms the storm. Your focus is on the Word of God that will give you the victory in that stormy situation. Because as long as you focus on the trouble will remain. And you'll be defeated by the enemy who brought the trouble. You see, the devil was the one that brought the storm against the boat and the disciples that were in it. Just to defeat them and prevent them from getting to the other side where Jesus wanted them to go. And that's how the devil works against us as Christians. It tries to hinder us from making the progress that we ought to make in our lives. It tries to stop us from getting to where God wants us to get to in life. But we have to focus on God and focus on the power of God to keep His word. Because God knows how to defeat the enemy for us at all times and bring His plans to pass in our lives. It's not by our human power, it's not by our human might, it's by the Spirit of God. So when Peter took his eyes off Jesus, he saw the storm, saw the wind, and fear gripped him. And then it began to sink. He's no longer walking on the water now. The water is going to overwhelm him now. See, the trouble of life can overwhelm us if we focus on them. But if we focus on God, we will overcome the trouble. You see the key? When he focused on Jesus, he overcame the storm. But when he focused on the storm overcame him. And it began to sink. But thank God, he cried for help. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? In other words, why did you doubt? You started well. You were in faith. But then you allowed doubt to get in and you lost it. Well, say to your neighbor, keep your focus on Jesus, the Word of God, at all times, no matter what your need may be. And I guarantee you, according to the Word of God, that you will overcome. Because the power of God will give you the victory as long as you hold on to the Word of God until the end. Amen. Praise God. Now we're going to pray and just use this to pray for ourselves and for one another, including all our brethren in this church who are not here this morning, and all our fellow brethren in the body of Christ, because we all need each other's support. We have to be praying for one another, Bible says, you see. We have to pray for one another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, Bible says, avails much. None of us can stand on our own. We stand in the strength of God. And when we pray for one another, we release the strength of God to hold each one of us up in the perfect will of God. That's why, you know, the early church were always prayerful. You see, it doesn't matter how anointed each one of us is, we still need the support of other parts of the body, you see. Because we are one body in Christ, every part of the body has a part to play in making the whole body to function perfectly as a unit. And you and I know that very well, even in our individual experiences in life. Because when your little finger is hurting you, your whole body will feel the pain. And yet it's just one little finger hurting you. Sometimes the pain in your little finger can even get to your head. And that's just one little finger. Just to help us realize that the whole body is a unit. And that's how it is with the church of Jesus Christ, as the Bible teaches us. We have to pray for one another. We have to watch. The Bible says, with all perseverance for all saints. And Jesus, the head of the church, is doing exactly the same thing for us, as we see here in Luke chapter 22. If he prayed for Peter, then guess what he's doing now? He's praying for every one of us the same way. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, the Bible teaches us that he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. So if Jesus is praying for his church, the least we could do is to pray for one another also, and just join in agreement with the head of the church in what he is doing for his body. Verses 31 and 32, let's go. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice what Jesus did. He didn't even say, devil, I bind you. Well, there's a time to bind him. That's all right. But many times when we just say we are binding the devil, he refuses to be bound because we ourselves are disobeying God, you see. You can't bind the devil except you obey God. Because the devil is the spirit of disobedience. For you to bind the devil and get him truly bound, you have to be on God's side through your own obedience. You see, that's the key. And so Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you, Peter. I have prayed for you for one thing. Just one prayer I'm praying for you, Peter. That's the way to see it here before we pray. Just one thing I'm praying for concerning you, Peter. I'm not even focusing on the devil. I'm not focusing on what the devil has planned to do against you. That's not my focus. My focus is on you, Peter. That your faith, Peter, will not fail. Because whatsoever the devil has planned to do will fail in your life as long as your faith does not fail. You see? You see the power of faith? You see the power of faith? In fact, what the devil planned to do against Peter, many of us have not experienced something like that, because Jesus said here, you know, Peter, what the devil wants to do, he wants to really grind you. Grind you and really grind you. And really pulverize you. And make you to become nothing at the end of the day. But if your faith doesn't fail, Peter, the devil's plan will not succeed in your life. And may I submit before we pray that that's the truth concerning every one of us. If our faith does not fail, the devil's plan cannot succeed. It does not matter what the devil has planned. Forget about him. You focus on the word of God and focus on ensuring that you don't give up on God's promises.